Well, today is our last installment in the Greener Grass series out of 1 Samuel chapter 7, and I want to start this with showing you a picture. So let's put a picture of this amazing fence up on the screen that is at my house, actually. And do you notice something about that fence? Part of it is pretty weathered, and the other part looks like it's been cleaned for the most part, right? So this was part of my project that I started yesterday. I started power washing a wooden fence that's at my house. It was time, right? So you look at it, and it looked like the one on the right, and I thought, you know what? It's just got to do it. Got to do it. I know it's going to be 90 degrees and humid, but got to do it. Got to get to it. Get cracking on this thing. This fence hadn't been taken care of for years, and there were some times where I was sitting on my back deck, and this is to the right side of my house. My house is over here, kind of to the left, and I've got a patio out back, and I've got a neighbor on the other side, and my neighbor has one of those composite type fences, right? And so it stays looking pretty white all the time, and there were times where I'll sit out and I'll look at that, and I look at mine. I look back at my neighbor's, and I look at mine. Many days I've sat there and I've envied that fence my neighbor has going, if only I had that in my yard, how much nicer would that be, right? That'd be a lot more pleasant to sit and look at. Because that fence in the back, you know, the ground's eroded because it kind of goes downhill, and the fence is kind of pushed away from the posts, and so it's what's a nice way of saying it? It's kind of, it's challenged. There we go. It's just challenged, y'all. It needs some loving. Needs a little bit of help. So, wow. So anyway, so I said, you know what? Hey, I look at this fence and I say, okay, I believe God has blessed our family with this house and this property and the fence and the neighborhood. Placed us right here. And so when I look at what's right in front of me, I go, God, this fence is a blessing, but it's weathered. It's been neglected. It needs some loving, needs some attention. And I really don't want to have to clean that whole fence because that's a lot. But I also can't just sit here and ignore what you've given me and not take care of it just because I don't want to put in the investment. I think there's still life in it, Lord, but I'm going to have to work to help that life be restored back in that blessing that you've already given to us. Well, you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 7, it's a text that we've been in as we've talked about the Israelites and Samuel leading them. And they had what? So we kind of went to 8 and then we went back to 7 chapters, right? Because they had, they were looking at the nations around them. They wanted a king. God says, this is not what I want for you, but we'll do it. But you need to follow my way. And before that, the Ark of the Covenant had been away. And so it come back. And they have the Ark of the Covenant with them, and they're in their land, and there is this point here in chapter 7 where they, if you remember last week, Samuel said, look, now, if you want God to bless, then you need to get right with God. If you're going to get right, do it right, you know, kind of thing. And so they did. They said, all right, we're done worshiping these false gods, and we're going to do it right. We're going to be faithful to God. So in chapter 7, verse 13 to 14 is kind of this ending picture of what came about because of they turned to the Lord and they got serious about being faithful to God. And so that's where I want to take us. And I just want to read these two verses, verse 13 and verse 14. So if you got your Bible, you want to open up to that. Let's take a look at that this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 13 and verse 14. I know a lot of us have got the Bible on our phone. I just ask if you do, make sure your volume is all the way down. sometimes those apps like to read to us, you know. So verse 13, here's what the story says. It says, so the Philistines, who were the enemy of the Israelites, kept giving them a hard time all the time. It says, well, the Philistines were defeated. Woo-hoo. And they stopped coming into Israelite territory. The Lord's hand was against the Philistines throughout Samuel's life. The towns the Philistines had captured from Israel, from Ekron to Gath, were returned to Israel. Israel also recovered the territory around those two cities from the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And the Amorites seems like an odd thing. We haven't talked about them. It's sort of a general way of talking about the foreign people of the land all around the Israelites there and kind of in the Promised Land. When you look at this story, you need to see that God made that happen. God made the restoration happen. God made the redeeming of what was once theirs, theirs again. He made it happen. But didn't you say that they went like, and they ran them out of town and they beat them in battle and, yes. But who gives the victory? The Lord gives the victory. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 20, I believe, is what, you know, Moses telling the people. It's like, look, you need to understand, when you win, it's the Lord that has won the battle for you. Give the Lord the credit for that. The Lord has made it all happen for these Israelites in this chapter in their lives. But I do want you to notice something about this story, which is that even though God made it happen, God brought the victory. The Israelites still had, they had to get up, they had to go out into the territory, into the region to reclaim the blessing that the enemy had taken because they had been looking at the greener grass that was around them, wanting to be safe and secure and strong like the other nations around them. And they turned their eye off of God because we like that way better. Even though the Lord had said, but I have this way for you. And this way is better. Even though you don't see it right now, my way is better. I'll give you the victory my way. Trust my way. Now, they just started worshiping other gods, and they just did it their way for a while. And they got what their rebelliousness was promised to bring them. Heartache. Defeat. It was ugly. And you know, that story just got me wondering, and I thought, I wonder if one of the reasons that we might envy greener grass is because we've overlooked the blessings right in front of us that are meant to be for our good. And amidst trying to be like somebody else, trying to possess what others have that we feel like we ought to have and we want, but we just don't have it, we want the better, or an effort maybe to just kind of collect and hoard and hoard and not use up what we have, or maybe just the change in seasons where we just kind of lost sight of where we had been and where we were focusing, or maybe because, you know what, this path would just be easier, and I'm tired of walking this path because it's so challenging and it's so hard. This would just be a little bit easier for a while. I wonder if in the midst of whatever our reason might be, I wonder if there's space to say that our blessings have gotten covered with some algae and mildew and they're kind of look like that fence that hadn't been power washed yet. It's been sitting there neglected for years and years and years or weeks and weeks. It's still a good blessing. It's just been neglected. What God gives you, God intends for your good. If you and I neglect it, we're neglecting the good that the blessing is meant to bring into our lives. God is meant to be a blessing in our lives, and when we neglect God, we neglect the blessing of God's presence in our lives. let me talk a minute about those blessings. What kind of blessings might I be talking about? Well, I got an idea, and I'll share it with you. So, the shape of who we are. The shape of who we are. Go back. There we go. There we go. Now we're on target there on the screen. Our blessings. We're talking the shape of who we are. Now, some of us don't like the shape of who we are. But you're thinking about the wrong kind of shape. I'm not talking about what you see in the mirror. I'm talking about your spiritual gifts, your heart, your passion, right? Your abilities, your personality, your experiences, the shape of who you are. I've listened to folks, and I myself have. I know times where I have thought, I wish I was more like that person because I like what they are really good at. I wish I could do what they can do really well. Instead of stopping to say, what is it that I do really well that God has gifted me to do? Right? Wow. They have an amazing, gosh, their story is so amazing. And I tell you what, they are so good at doing this task in the life of the church. Man, I wish I could be like them and do what they do. Gosh, man, they can get up in front of a group of people and they can talk to them and they don't even look like they're nervous. Like, my gosh, Lisa, she gets up there, she's just like a natural. She's just talking and she just communicates so clearly and so well. And we go, gosh, I wish I could just talk more like Lisa when I stand in front of a group of people. I wish I was more outgoing. Gosh, I tell you what. Butch doesn't meet a stranger. That guy can talk to anybody. Marla. What else do you need to say? Man, I wish I... If I liked bread pudding. But... You'd eat Marla's because it's just that good. Man, I wish I could make bread pudding like Marla can make. Good night. How does she do that? It's so, oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. Man, when I listen to them pray, gosh, it's like listening to an angel. I wish I could pray a bit. I wish I could pray like that. Gosh, I wish my words would just come out so perfectly, just like that. Why can't I be more like them? Your blessing is in who you are. Why? Because God created you. He's blessed you for you to be you. God has given you the gifts that His Spirit has given you. You're blessed because He's blessed you already. You have the abilities, your personality. You are who you are. You who may be a little bit more reserved in your personality style, you are going to connect better with people who are that similar way as you, whereas folks that are very outgoing are going to be like almost like abrasive with somebody who is very just reserved and held back. They just don't sit well around somebody who's very out there, you know? Whereas some of you love people who are just out there, and it's like, this is the best. You may be a little bit more reserved and quiet. That's your blessing. Why? Because God made you to do the work that He created you to do for Him, to cultivate good in this world. And you're going to do it in a way that no one else is going to do it like you. So don't be like anybody else. Your blessing is you, as God has created you. You be you and let God work through you for His glory. So what other blessing are you talking about? I think all that God has given you to manage, the things, the opportunities that are in front of you, the ones that you already are in. You go, I don't like this job. Well, maybe not. But do you realize the Lord's given you what you have? You are there, He has blessed you, that you might be a blessing to those around you. Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless your descendants so that you'll be a blessing to the nations. You're blessed to be a blessing. And what about the people in your lives? That's a blessing. But perhaps as I was thinking about this, there's room to say that maybe we sometimes neglect who we are, our shape. We neglect the things and the opportunities that God has blessed us with. We neglect the people that are in our lives. We might take them for granted. So what might it look like if we got serious about power washing those blessings that have gotten neglected over time? Reclaim it for good, right? Anybody got any ideas? I'm fresh game because I struck out. I didn't come up with a one. Just, you know I'm joking, right? Yes, you know I'm joking. All right, I can always come up with something to say. So let me start with the main idea is this. You got to take action. And as I say take action, I need to preface it by saying this. When you take action and you're going to power wash, you're going to clean these blessings up, right? You're going to restore these things. You and I, we need to remember who's the one that makes the restoration actually beautiful. Yeah. You're the laborer. He's the artist. Right? We're working with the Lord, but He's the one that's making the restoration beautiful that'll be used for His glory and for the good of our own selves, our families, and the people around us. God is the orchestrator of it. So we need to start with Him. And in starting with Him, then my thought was, okay, well, let me consider then how I posture myself before the Lord, who is the great restorer. And I thought, you know what? There's no better way. I don't know if there's any better posture to have before the Lord than a prayerful spirit that's grounded and settled in with humility. And I wondered if one of the great questions that we could pray and ask God is simply, hey God?
Yes.
Is there any selfishness or pride or lust or envy or greed or laziness in me that really just needs to be dealt with? Because it's distracting me to the point that I'm neglecting you. I'm neglecting maybe my own physical health, my emotional health, my relationships with other people, the things that you've put into my life. And so, Lord, would you point that out to me so that I can see it, I can understand it? I don't just want to live day after day sort of blind to the reality of where I need to grow. Like, I want to know, God. Because I know that my growth is for my good. But it's at your hands. So God, help me understand. Point it out in me. And as you realize, whether God reveals it to you, you know, it's like, I just feel like I just heard God just say, it was this. Sometimes it pays to have a bass voice. I don't have that. I need like a little sound clip, bite clip I can just use sometimes that I can just, but I don't have that. So anyways, okay, so that's your commercial break. Now carrying on with our regular schedule programming. When I've asked God that kind of prayer, I typically have not been too excited about what gets revealed to me. But I firmly believe that there's something to be said for when you have that revelation within you to not be ashamed of you. Not to be ashamed of you. Instead, own it. Confess it. Confess it unto the Lord. Confess it to another, right? If we confess our sins one to another, right, as Scripture's telling us. So own it. Confess it. Don't be ashamed of it. One of the great illustrations of this is addiction recovery, right? And so if you're familiar with that with system, the kind of the step programming in that you go through with that one up front, does anybody know what the first step is? They're like, no, I'm not saying, because then somebody's going to think that I'm in it. Admitting that you have a problem, Now here's the power of that. Admitting that you have a problem that is beyond your ability to be able to restore it, to make it right, it doesn't make you feel too hot about yourself because it brings out, right, the only flaw in you. But here's the thing. Until you are willing to step out and own who you are and where you are and what about you needs the transforming work of God, you're not going to grow. Hence, the first part is to own that you have a problem and not be ashamed of it because it's who you are. And as long as you are ashamed of who you are and you want to keep that in the dark, it just will do nothing but fester within you. You can't grow until you shine light on it and own it and embrace it and confess it and choose not to be ashamed. This is who I am. It's my story. Either it happened because I made choices that took me down this road, or it's something just, whatever the case may be, I'm not going to be ashamed. This seems like as good a time as any to go over here. I love this cross because on this cross we read a story. We look at a story. A story that says the Son of God loved us and loves us. And that he came to earth and he went to the cross. And in the book of Isaiah, it foretells of a suffering servant, Isaiah 53. And in Isaiah 53, the prophet writes that he went to the cross and he took our iniquities upon himself. He took the shame that was cast upon him and he bore it. For he knew the blessing that was still there to be had, but it just wasn't recognizable. He knew that salvation was there. And he said, I am who I am. And I'm going to do what I'm about to do. And I'm okay with what I'm about to do. And I know why I have to do it. And I'm okay. Because I know who I am and I know why I'm here. And I know what I have to do and I know what I can do to save the world. This is my story. This is my lot. This is what I shall do. But when I die, I know that in death there is life. As long as you remain in shame, you allow darkness to be all around you. But if you'll shine the light of the truth of God, of who he is and what Jesus has done for you, so that in you, that the very thing that you feel ashamed about has been conquered by the blood of Jesus Christ and by an empty tomb. In doing that, you're going to walk a path of victory. And it's an ongoing path. It takes time. So for me, I feel like you get two choices at that place. One, you can say, God, I can't take this. It's so hard. Why don't you just take it away and make it gone like that? Until it doesn't work that way. Or you can say, this is hard. But thanks be to God, I can endure all things through him who gives me strength. You know what? Thanks be to God that I am who I am today because God has made me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what? Thank you to God that I know that I am not alone. Thank you to God that I am an overcomer. Thank you, Jesus, that I have the victory already. I know it's tough, but God, you're tougher. I know the grave looked like it was impossible, but you rose from the dead. There is nothing, God, that you cannot give me victory over in my life because you're a conquering God. There's no one like Jehovah, as the saying goes, right? So you have the opportunity to say, will I give thanks to God now for what I know to be true? Let his spirit shine the light of truth in the darkness. Well, I hate to even go on. Yeah, it's kind of like a climax right there. I don't know. Man. I really believe that, you know, when you don't feel blessed in your life in a moment, I found that's one of the hardest times to like stop and shift, right? Pivot, as we would say, and say, I need to be giving thanks to God. It, it's just hard, right? I mean, it's hard for me. And I, most time, I'll be honest, like I don't end up doing that because it's so much easier to just sort of sit there and with pity and just in a pity party for myself, right? I don't know if you guys ever do that. It might just be me. I don't know if you do that at home, but hey, sometimes I know I do that. But man, I can think back to times when I have stopped. And it's almost like you had to make a conscious decision to say, I know how I feel and I know why. And so in this moment, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Right? That's all I'm going to think of now. But it's amazing just to change that thought. To saying, oh, woe is me, to saying, oh, my goodness, how good is God. Just to shift how you think, where your mind goes. So, you know, so in that moment where you don't really feel like it, that's such a great time to give thanks to who we are and where we are and what we have and the people in our lives. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said, man, just give thanks in all circumstances. Just do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You know, hey, like you may not like where you are, but it don't matter. You should give thanks to God in any circumstance because even in your circumstance that may be bad, God's still good. I don't have to thank him for a pitiful circumstance. I need to thank him for being a powerful God in my pitiful circumstance. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. That's it. That's all I'm going to do. Give thanks, and then here's one. I saved the toughest for last. Y'all ready for this? Do the dirty work. You know, work your shape. And don't take that in a bad way. You know, hey, James, I like it. James, in James 2:17, it says, faith without works is dead. It's not enough just that we believe that God has given me blessings, and you know, God has created me for good. He's created me to be used for His glory in this world. It's like, yeah, I believe all that stuff, but you got to do something with that. You know, it's faith is meant to be active and lived out. So, what will you do with what you now know? I would say, with thinking about blessings and restoring those, using them. Put your gifts and your passions, your abilities, your life experiences, and your resources, your relationships that can help other people. Yeah, I mean, just use those things. Use them. Be using them. Put your shape to work for Jesus. You know, in the parable of the talents, Matthew 25, it's part of this that parable is about that. Like, God gives you what he wants you to have to use for his purposes and his glory. And he does not want you to sit there and bury it in the ground and waste it. And that's the problem with the one talent servant. He buries it in the ground because he just doesn't want to waste it. And it's like, no, I'd rather you risk it. I'd rather you take it, work with it, that something can happen from it, out of it, than just take it and bury it in the ground because of some other unhealthy emotion that you're dealing with. No, use that bad boy. Come on now. Don't waste what I've given you. So what might that look like in the life of the church? Well, honestly, there's a number of things, and I'm not going to get into all of it, but just serve Christ through the church in areas that match your shape. What are you passionate about? Use it for the Lord. What wisdom, what knowledge, what training, what life experiences do you have that you can use to help the church fulfill its mission? What can you do? What spiritual gift do you have that you could be using? What could you be in? He said, well, I get this, but I'm waiting for the church to ask me to do something. I've heard that before, multiple times. Well, nobody ever asked me. Nobody needs to ask you. You need to do. It is our responsibility to take the initiative, to use what God has given us and serve Christ with it through the church. I firmly believe in that. I believe the church is God's family that is meant to work together in the world to help those that are far from Jesus draw closer to Jesus. But that really happens the more we work together and use our shape for that purpose. And so maybe part of just, hey, power washing that shape is just saying, look, speak up. Hey, I really like doing this. I'm good at this. You know, I have training in this. How can I help the church with this? You know what? God may launch a whole new ministry that will see people come to Jesus just because you had the courage and the power of the Spirit to stand up and say, hey. And you finish that sentence, right? Do you realize it all just starts with speaking up. I'm scared. I'm afraid. Fear is not of the Lord. The Lord did not give us a spirit of fear. He causes people to be brave and courageous, to be bold. So, with that being said, well, let me just give you the last toughest one here. How many of you have relationships with people that don't always go the way you like them to? And I'm going to duck down while you do that, and then so I don't see, okay. My guess is we all have relationships that sometimes have conflict. How many of you that have been married have had conflict in your marriage? Don't raise your hand. You are smarter than that. Maybe you need to buy lunch or something today. I don't know, but not. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Manage your conflict. Manage your conflict. Put some cleaner. Turn the water on. And just clean, methodically work through that conflict as it comes up. Okay? Don't ignore it. Don't bury it under the rug. Don't pretend like it wasn't said or it didn't happen. Manage that stuff, right? Work through it. Do the work of reconciliation as much as it depends on you. Okay? So, man, how do I do that? Well, we've talked about this quite a bit over the last 2 years, a little more than that. But I find there's just real quick things I'd remind us of, because I know you guys already know this. But listen to understand each other's perspectives. Sometimes when we get frustrated with somebody and we have conflict, we so badly want to say what we believe is the problem. We want to speak our mind, right? We just really want to be understood. But that's not love. Love seeks first to understand the other person. Where are they coming from? What do I not know about this conflict that if I know it will help me to be a part of resolving it? Listen to understand each other's perspectives and practice empathy with other people. Walk a mile in their shoes, as they say, right? If they're so frustrated, why might they be so frustrated in this moment with you? Why might that be? And if you hurt somebody, be the adult and confess it. Acknowledge your sin and confess that you've done wrong to that other person. I want to give you permission. You ready? 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 You ready? Here's. You don't always have to be right. Because you're not always right. Well, if they knew what I knew, then they'd know I was right. If you knew what they knew, then you'd know you're not right. You don't always have to be right. Reconciliation is an active process. It takes work. It doesn't happen passively. It requires action. Jesus. Gary, I want to just one more time. Can I talk about Jesus one more time?
You can talk about Jesus whenever you want.
Jesus came to earth, and what did he do? I already said it. Let's go back to what did he do? He went to the cross. He didn't just passively stand there and say, "It is done." He actively took the sins of the world upon himself, actively suffered and died. His blood was shed out of his body. He was buried. He actively comes out of a tomb. We are, by his active love and work, we are reconciled to God. Reconciliation is an active process. It doesn't passively happen because you just want it to. You have to work. You have to communicate. You have to be patient. You have to be empathetic with other people that you're in conflict and you don't disagree with and you're not happy with. It's easy to run from it. It's easy to dismiss it and ignore it. That's the easy thing to do. The hard thing to do is to actually work through it. And I say that not, I just say it because I know. My tendency is to avoid conflict. That's my tendency. I would rather pretend that it never happened. And so there are times where I don't step forward into it and manage it because I don't want to have to deal with it. I'm talking about confess your sins one to another. I'll just throw it out here. That's what I will do. And it's challenging for me to step up and say, you know what? We need to resolve this as much as it depends on me. That's the right thing to do. So, Lord, you got to help me because that's the last thing I want to do. Give me strength to do this hard work of love. Because I don't know that I could do it unless you help me, Lord. Because it's killing me. Do you know that you're so blessed? Man, you are so blessed. One of the biggest blessings in your life is the very fact that you're alive and present today. Not because you get to be with me. Although I do think it's kind of cool. I get to be with you. But the fact that you are here and you have life, you're blessed. Do you have blessings in your life that you've neglected? People you've taken for granted? Opportunities that you squandered because of fear? Or feeling, I'm not equipped to do this. There's no way I'm going to succeed at this. I'm afraid to fail. But, you know, is it stuff that God's given you, but, you know, there was a season where you used to be really into that, and then kind of life drifted, you know, and you say, you know, but I'm still kind of passionate about that. Like, that fire's still there. Stroke that fire. It's a gift from God to you. Use that blessing. Reclaim it. And let the Lord restore it. That people may experience God through you and the blessings God's given you, and they may come to Jesus and grow in Christ. Man, and what matters more than that, really, at the end of the day? Because that's what we're about, right? That's the work of making disciples of Christ who love and grow and serve. And I end with this statement. God has given you blessings to go be a blessing for the cause of Christ. You have what you need. You do.